Welcome back. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet, starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Petella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking. I have been using the tools, and I again want to yield the floor to the now famous Professor Farrell Brenner. We have him on the show today, and I am so pleased that he's still willing to give of his time. Farrell?
Thank you, Martin, and hi, Scott, and hello, everybody. I'm honored to be here, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to talk about some of these things that are extremely meaningful to me. There's lots of things I could do to earn a dollar and to put food in my mouth. But this is what's really important to me, and it's what I want to share with other people. So thanks a lot, Martin and Scott. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share about it.
Well, it's great to have you. And the last couple episodes, we've been talking about the gift and a few of the other amazing products that you've got over at Smart Minerals. And I have to tell you that the last 10 days, I was on a road trip. And I went from Vancouver, BC, Canada, to the Grand Canyon, which is about 2,000, maybe 2,500 miles one way, in a car with the love of my life. And it was 10 days, so two people scrunched up 10 days. Chances are we were going to have some power struggles or some, snippy moments or some sort of resentment. At least that's been my experience in the past, and but this time what we did differently was we picked up a little bottle of the gift, and I would put one drop on my heart chakra almost every day, not quite every day, sometimes twice a day, three times a day, just kind of depended if there was the opportunity. And of course my girlfriend was like, yeah, let me do that too. And I have to say, you know, because I was aware of what I was doing, and I was sort of, so I would sort of look at how I was feeling, you know, like a few hours before, and then how I felt when I had the gift. And I did have, I have to say, I noticed an increase in happiness is the only way I can really describe it, right? It's like, yeah, but the whole 10 days, we just had the time of our lives. We just really enjoyed each other. We, nothing, if anything kind of came up where she wanted to do something and I maybe didn't want to do something, like we just, you know, reasonably, quickly, easily found a solution that made her happy, made me happy. But that was really rare. And most, pretty much the whole time was, this is just the time of my life, is what she would say, and I would just totally concur with her. And it didn't matter if, like, to give you an example, we camped at Bryce Canyon, which is absolutely spectacular. I hate to say it, but I really think it's more amazing and spectacular than the Grand Canyon, but it's not on the huge scale of the Grand Canyon. And so we drove about 100 miles on our way to Zion Canyon and stopped somewhere, and I went to pay for something and realized that I left my credit card at the gas station at Bryce Canyon, which required basically a two-hour return and back to, you know.
Ouch.
But it was just kind of like, oh, well, you know, and she was like, oh, well, and we went back. And I often think, you know, these things happen for a reason. So when we were coming back from Bryce Canyon, we're driving along the highway, and there's these two young men, about 18 years old, jumping up and down and waving their arms. And, of course, I'm, you know, totally oblivious. I'm focused on the road I'm driving, and my girlfriend says, stop, stop. And I'm like, no way. Stop! So I pull right, I pull over, and she, you know, she's a mom, she sees these two kids, she wants to help. And it turns out there was a third kid, and he had sprained his ankle. So these guys were like, we need help because our friend can't walk, sort of thing, right?
Wow.
So we, and they were like 18, 19 years old, we were in southern Utah, they had hitchhiked from Mount Vernon, Washington, which is just over the border from where we live, right? So they're kind of like neighbors. So we got this kid up, we put him in the car, we were packed, so we couldn't take the other two, but we took all their bags. And I said, you know, we've been down this road like three times, four times, we know it, and about 10, 15 miles up the road is a Chevron station. We're going to stop there because we stopped there before. They're nice people. There's a place for your friend to sit and wait for you, hitchhike, and meet us there. So we drove him to the Chevron station. He was like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, these kids had no money. They were going to Phoenix to meet a friend, and they were hitchhiking on this big adventure, right? And then he was telling us some of the things that they had done, and it was really, really cool. So my girlfriend then walks into the gas station, comes out with an attendant in a few minutes, and he brings out some ice to put on, you know, and they check it and they wrap it, and he's going to probably be fine the next day, sort of thing, right? And we're leaving, and she says, yeah, and I talked to the attendant, and he said, don't worry, we'll look after these three kids when they come through. We've got a spare room in our home. We'll just put them up for the night.
Wow.
So, you know, it was just like, you know, thank goodness I forgot my credit card, right? Because we wouldn't have had this wonderful experience if...
Well, you know, what, Scott, there's this movie called Grand Canyon. I don't know if you saw it. It's an amazing film, and if anybody hasn't seen that, get the DVD, get the film, and watch it. It's terrific, and it's about one of the things it's about is that there really are angels walking the earth, and those angels are you and me. We are those angels. I had a breakdown, and out of nowhere, somebody that I knew vaguely pulled off and spent hours helping me and got me back on the road. And I always referred to him as an angel. And in the movie, our hero is about to cross the street, and he puts his foot out, and a person behind him grabs him by the belt and just hauls him back. And 2 seconds later, a car goes zooming by. Mm-hmm. The guy saved his life. And so there's this conversation about angels, and we are each other's angels when we simply act as though the other person there, how we would want them to treat us, we treat them. If we were in that situation, they treat us that way. And you exhibited that. And in addition to which, you came across a magnificent way to use this self-help tool, the gift. When two or more people apply the gift at the same time, it sets up a vibrational, energetic resonance between those two or more people. It can be two friends. It can be people who want to work something out. It can be a family. It works with children. It even works with animals. And at another point in time, I'd like to discuss a little bit about what happens with animals. But you've stumbled on something to have a healthy relationship. That harmony is everything. That harmony, and the gift promotes the experience of harmony when two or more people use it at the same time. Congratulations on discovering that, and you see how sweet it is.
It's very sweet.
And you earned at least a feather towards your wings. Your angel wings.
Thank you, Farrell. Thank you.
Yeah. Good story. Great story, in fact.
It's a great story, indeed. So this actually does not at all relate to what we actually promised our listeners that we would talk about on the previous episode. I recall that we left them hanging because Farrell was going to relate a story, because that story related to the previous content. So I think I would like to just pull us back and just go back to why it is that we need this energy clearing, or I don't know what you'd call it. You probably have better language for it. But clearing of these accidents or these stored energy miasms, perhaps that's what it's called. Anyway, stored bits of consciousness that get stuck in the body.
Are we talking about a particular product now, Martin?
Well, I am certain that you will relate it somehow to a particular product. We were talking about the product called Freedom from Fear, Trauma, and
Fear, Shock, and Freedom from Fear, Shock, and Trauma. And I was going to tell a story about that. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, I think, Farrell, we owe it to the listeners to not just tease them. We should deliver.
No, time to please instead of tease. Well, I'd be glad to. Actually, this story is I'm fortunate enough that my mom is still living. I'm a grown adult, and my mom is still living. She's 93 years old, bless her heart.
Wow.
And I live in Texas, and she lives in Philadelphia. And a few years ago, when I was visiting her, we went out and ate somewhere, and I bit down on a stone and broke a tooth. Well, it so happens that I had not been going to dentist for a regular checkup or anything. It had been, I would say, 15 years since I had been to a dentist. And so when I went into a dentist, I not only had this issue of having to deal with a broken tooth, which was broken below the gum line, and so the whole thing had to come out, and I had to get surgery, and I decided on an implant. And so I went in, and I go, and they take all these x-rays and everything. And this is during the time when I'm already started my research, and I was already building this product called Freedom from Fear, Shock, and Trauma. What they all have in common, what fear, shock, and trauma has all have in common, is a painful event. That fear is the anticipation of another painful event. And shock is what happens to us during the time that we have that painful event. And if we don't reverse what happens at that time, we can die of shock. And we can also keep some version of it at the level of what's called cellular memory. And that trauma can replay as a memory again and again. If it's conscious, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome, which is shell shock that veterans have, and so forth. So I was, or it can be unconscious and simply interfere with healing and be strictly at a physiological level. So Freedom from Fear, Shock, and Trauma is all about having a painful event. And here I am at, guess what, Pain Central, my dentist's office, and his saying, oh, well, we've taken all these x-rays, and boy, howdy, you need a lot of dental work. And I, well, let's not worry about that. Let's just deal with this broken tooth first and get that fixed. Oh, we can do that in one session. You know, it's just like this is the advertisement. We can do this in one session. Well, yes, probably if you live there for a month. Okay, so they couldn't do it in one session. So the specialist comes in and he's doing the surgery on me, and he's dressed up. He looks like a spaceman. He's got these goggles on that are super microscopic goggles, and he's just all covered up, and he's coming after me with a foot-long needle to numb me out, and he's pulling the remnant of the tooth out, and then he's drilling up in there to see, you know, where he's going to implant this titanium screw. Ouch. And this is going on and on, and he gets to this point, and he says, aha, now we can see, and he goes, and he exclaims very loudly, oh my God, it's gigantic. Well, you know, this did not, meaning the hole, it's just like the place where the tooth was is too big for them to put a screw in, so they have to go through an entirely different medical procedure to build up the bone. So I was completely in shock when he exclaimed very loudly, oh my God, it's gigantic. So it went from this, we can do this in one sitting, to, oh no, this is going to have to take place over months and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So in the meantime, we'll start on all this other stuff. So I get home and I am starting to say, well, let me, you know, I've got this product I'm making for fear, shock, and trauma. Well, let's just see if I have any fear, shock, and trauma. Well, yes, I had some. Well, how did I tell that? By using something that I call technical kinesiology, where I use specific hand positions which have been proven in extensive medical research, or accessing the particular meridian that's associated with fear, which in this case is the kidney meridian, and seeing whether it tests in weakness. So a kinesiological test or a muscle test that would normally be strong when the kidney meridian is being held or accessed, in other words, and you test weak, it means, excuse me, it means that there is something interfering with the natural flow of that energy, which is the emotion that normally, the energy and the emotion, which normally supports the physiology of the kidneys. And in this case, the emotion is fear, and it can be shock and trauma. So I kept measuring as I was going through this process of going through again and again and again, week after week, for a year while I was developing this product. Again and again, I would go home and tweak to see how much fear, shock, and trauma was left in my system, and then I would take tweak the product, ingest or use or apply the product, and see if there was any fear, shock, and trauma until I got to the point where no matter what was going on in the dentist's office, no matter what horrible buzzing, drilling, poking, prodding, painful, oh my God, they stuck the needle in the wrong place and I almost shot through the ceiling, still when I got home. Oops, that does it happen occasionally, Farrell. We're so sorry. Don't worry about it, though. It didn't hurt you. Okay. Permanently.
You'll
so
survive.
I survived. So after over a year of this type of work, I got a product that was so powerful that when I got home, I still had no sign of weakening of my energy. I still remained strong. I exhibited no signs of fear, of shock, of trauma, not just consciously, but physiologically at the cellular level, there was no signs of it. That's my little story about how I developed that product.
Wow. What a way to do it.
Yeah, it was expensive, too.
Under pressure.
Yes. Pressure to succeed. There's nothing like desperation.
Yes, there is the... There are many sayings. The one I remember from my native language was that the poverty taught this man to play the violin really well.
I see.
You know, like he had to make a living.
Yes, indeed.
So indeed, yeah. He had to practice because that was the only tool he had.
Gotcha.
Anyway, that's fantastic. You know, what an interesting story there. So I just kept thinking, you know, we have these many veterans or soldiers now returning from the theater back into the country, and they're bringing with them all this wonderful stuff. I would like to somehow, at least people who are listening to it, maybe they could talk to the ones they know.
Thank you for saying that. You know what? I had a lady who was using one of my products, and she wrote to me that she had a roommate who was a returning vet who was very deep into post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of his experiences in the military. And he was very negative and very standoffish and very much into himself and would barely talk even when spoken to. And this was her roommate, not a personal relationship, but just a roommate. And she related to me that when she used the gift, he became more responsive.
Huh.
He became more positive. He became more outgoing, and he would laugh occasionally as well, which was unheard of. I said, this is very, very interesting. Are you telling me that he never used the gift? She said, no, he looked askance at it. You know, he was when he, but when he started to come out of himself from me using it, he actually started to think about using it himself. I never did get the follow-up to find out if he did or if he didn't. But just think, we have an influence on everybody who's in our environment, for good or for ill. So if we do something positive for ourselves, we have actually done something positive for everyone with whom our life connects. And the more strongly our life connects with that person, the stronger the influence is. Isn't that something?
It is something. Scott, you could probably relate it to the whole Ho'oponopono process, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In the it's an ancient Hawaiian process, and the whole idea is if you have an issue with somebody, you don't actually need to sit down and talk to them, because in this world where we are, we're in the world of effect, not the world of cause. But if I get aligned and I talk to kind of my higher self or an angel, my angel, and then my angel talks to your angel, and then usually the problem just sort of disappears and resolves itself.
Well, here you have the gift, which is sort of like Ho'oponopono in a bottle.
That's right. Putting one drop on your heart chakra is a lot faster than the 20 or 30 or 40 minutes that the process would take.
Some people get extraordinary effects by putting them on every center occasionally. And then doing their prayer or meditation or Tai Chi or martial arts or whatever it is that they do that's part of their health building and positivity or healing, you know, and so forth. Anyway, what do you guys want to talk about today?
Well, actually, Farrell, there's a couple questions that some of our listeners have sent in, and I was hoping that we would have maybe a few minutes where we could delve into these questions and maybe clarify them for our listeners. If we
sure, you bet. We can do that before we go on to anything else, yeah.
Okay, so Sue in Dallas emailed us and said, you know, you talk about love, but, you know, I think what I think of love and what you think of love could be different. So she just wanted to be kind of clear about what you meant by love. And then, you know, why is this so important?
Oh, that's a most interesting question, because love is very central to everything that I do and work on. As I like to say, love is the brass ring in life. Why do we work? Why do we want to earn money? Why do we, you know, past survival? What are we after? Everybody at heart, everybody deep down inside, we want love and acceptance. We want to be, on a cellular level, you could say, it's kind of like how your immune system is set up. It's like, in love, it's like you're included. If you're not included, if you're not one of us, if you're not accepted or loved, then the immune system attacks that. And in an autoimmune situation, what happens is there's a lack of love and acceptance of ourself. So the immune system actually attacks itself. We attack our own body, okay? And this actually can be a fatal disease. There are many diseases that are actually caused by this process. In fact, that's how I got interested in this whole line of work, is that I was looking for a way to help people who are coming to me who said, Ken, is there anything that you can do to help me with this? I mean, young people, 20 years old, telling me that they've been given a death sentence by their doctors, that there's nothing that they can do except give you medicine but go home and die. And so I put that out. I prayed about it, and I meditated on it, and I asked for help, and I got these tremendous intuitions to go in this direction, and it was love, love and self-acceptance. So by love, you know what I don't mean is whatever it is that Hollywood puts on the screen. Not that they've got anything against that. I love romantic comedies. I'm a sucker for them. My wife of 43 years, who is my best friend and whom I love and adore, we have a terrific relationship. We can say anything to each other. We love to watch these romantic comedies, but love is not about, it's not just about the emotion of love. So what we mean in this work by love is a much broader concept. And when if you get on the how to use the gift, it talks about using it with intention, which is sort of like using it as making a positive statement of intent, which is like an affirmation or a mantra, such as, I love and accept myself. Well, since I wrote that I love and accept myself is a very good positive intent that you can use along with the gift, which, by the way, greatly enhances the effect of the gift. The gift is great. And it works all by itself. But if you add other dimensions to it, it starts to work even more. So if you also state, I love and accept myself, along with, and you keep repeating that along with a sense of saying it like I really mean it. I love it. I do love and accept. I really love and accept. But, you know, I ran into this problem where people don't really know what love is. What do you mean by love? And I thought about this a lot, and I realized that what I really wanted to say was, let's not use that word love anymore, but it's a wonderful word. But still, how about if we use the word value? When we say, I appreciate you, if we have a stock, a bond, or something, and it goes up in value, we say, it appreciates. If I say, I appreciate you, what I mean is, I value you. If I love you, but I don't value you, what kind of love is that? So love has many aspects to it. It's a tolerance. It's an understanding. It's, above all, an acceptance. It's an inclusion in. But it's also an I respect you. It's also I have patience with you. It's many other things than just a feeling, because you know what? Those feelings, I can't live without you, in a few years can become, here we are in an acrimonious divorce. 52% of Americans wind up divorced who have been married. 52%. That's outrageous. What it means is that people don't know actually what they're trying to do in having a relationship. You know, it's really hard to play a game when you don't know what the rules are. It's really hard to make a goal or score a point when you don't know what it is you're really trying to do. And if what we're trying to do consciously or unconsciously is to have power over to somebody else, like you were suggesting, Scott, when you said that you might have gotten into a power struggle with your significant other, and instead you didn't, yes, great, and you did not have that experience, that's right, because power is instead of love. Okay, there are a number of things in society that are the blooper prize. It's the doggy prize that you get instead of the first prize. And the first prize is love. Somebody really loves you, respects you, accepts you, understands you. You're a significant part of their life. They value you. That is the best. And there's a wonderful man named Viktor Frankl, and he wrote about his experiences in Nazi concentration camp. And he was having ecstatic experiences thinking about his wife, whom he loved dearly. She wasn't there. He was alone in a concentration camp, trudging through snow, freezing weather, with no shoes on, scantily clad, in irons. And he had a smile on his face, he writes in his autobiography, because he was thinking about the person he loves. Love is the greatest force in the world. And in my opinion, my humble opinion, if I had a humble opinion, in my opinion, that's a joke, guys, in my opinion, we are here to learn love. In my opinion, we're here on this planet, despite everything, despite all the challenges that we have for survival and so forth, which are considerable, I think we're here to learn love. And I think that this is a time on the planet which is a very challenging one, economically and otherwise, a time of great global warming. And oh my God, I'm in Texas, and we've had record-breaking drought. It's an extreme drought, and they're saying that it's turning into another dust bowl here. And it's not just the state of Texas, but it's the whole, it's at least a fourth of the United States is going through this right now. Record-breaking, this is a tremendous challenge for so many people. The prices are going up and so forth. And during this time, is this going to bring out the worst in people? Some, yes. But it's also going to bring out the best in people in these desperate times. And what I'm saying is that when we treat another person like we would want to be treated in that same situation, then that's love. And of course, we recognize that as the golden rule. That's the golden
rule. Yeah.
Yes.
Pharaoh, I had another question right on the tip of my tongue, but we are actually running to the time limit of our session. So I'm going to ask you the question, but I think we're going to have to answer it next week. And the question has to do with this. Conditional. I love you when, or I love you only if, or, the question that came through a inquiry was, why is the conditional self-esteem a problem?
But that's a conditional great question. Yes, exactly.
Why is conditional anything a problem? So I think we're not going to cover it today because we ran out of the minutes, but I think we should cover it next week. Scott?
Absolutely. Let's do that.
Okay. So, folks, we're closing. Thank you very much for listening. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. You can find us at www.life-enthusiast.com and on the telephone at 1-866-543-3388. Thank you for listening.